So, we're finishing up week six, and we have subqueries and functions to go. I think I'm going to look at functions first and then subqueries, because I think subqueries are a little more complicated. So we're going to look at functions. And as I said last time, there are two sets of functions. One that acts on each individual record, and one that acts on groups of records or on the whole record. So here I've got lower names, select lower names. And so we took all the names and brought them up as lowercase. And if I had upper there, it would have brought them all up as uppercase. So that's acting on each individual record. Okay, it's not acting on the group. The next one is more of a group function because it's asking for the max name. Okay, so it's asking for the name whose alphabet is farthest down in the alphabet. And if you look at the names up there, Susan is farther down in the alphabet. So Susan is the one that comes up. Okay. Okay, then I went in and I did the in string. And the in string is also going to be acting on okay, it's telling me select ever, all the ones that have ever in whatever, and there is five of them. It's in the fifth place, rather. Okay, so whatever has ever, wherever, I'm not saying this right, wherever ever appears in whatever. Okay, so you've got whatever, and I'm looking for ever appears. So I'm looking and saying in string, look for ever inside whatever. And ever starts at the fifth character, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so it's coming back and doing that. If I had done that on a file, then I would have it acting on every single record. But I didn't do it on a file. I just said select and put in the fact that I wanted it to do that on a particular example. And notice I didn't have to put a from in there. And that's another difference between this version of SQL and the version of SQL that Oracle has. Oracle would require that you put in a from there. And it has a dummy file that you can use so that if you really don't want to use a file, you can use that name of a dummy file that has one field of one character. And so you use it, but it requires you to have the from. Okay, this one allows you to test something. So if I want to figure out how InString works, I can just put up an example there and not bother with a file, just put up the example and get the answer. So I'm saying, show me wherever is within whatever. And it starts at the fifth character. Okay. Then I went through and said, okay, now here's the file, using a file, select, look at city, and look for EE in all the cities. So it's going through and telling me EE starts in 2. It doesn't start anywhere on those. In Braintree, it starts over an 8. Okay, so it's telling me where it is. So on the top one, I was just acting on data that I typed in. On this one, I'm acting on a field, and I'm acting on every record in the file. Okay, so the first one is kind of, I don't remember how InString works. I'm going to just throw something up there and see how it works. That's the kind of thing you can do with that top one. Just throw up some data, see where it is. And the fact that it starts at 5 tells me that this is starting counting at 1 with the W as opposed to 0. Okay, so it's a good way of figuring those kinds of things out. Okay. Then there are a bunch of things that I tend to use substring most of the time. And remember, even though my examples, for some reason, I didn't use substring, you can use just this. S-U-B-S-T-R. Using substring. Okay, you don't have to write out the word substring. And the SUBSTR is more universal. That's what Oracle uses. That's what most of the databases use. Okay, so it's more universal. But I can also do things like I want to see left, the left characters, four characters in city. I want to see the four characters to the left or the four characters to the right. So I can go in and use left and right to extract things as well. Okay. Again, I would tend to use substring more than that and go into substring city and start at 1 and take 4. Or go in with a negative if you're going in on the other side. Length tells you the length of the city. And again, all these are acting on every record. You can pad something, and this is used usually with financial information, that you want to pad such that somebody can't change the number. So you can use padding, and this is a left pad of asterisks. Okay, so I'm going to do a left pad and put in all of the asterisks at the beginning. All right, this one only wanted city, so anything that didn't have four characters, I guess. This one wanted 20, so I'm getting all the asterisks. I was looking at why I had this one. But it's four characters. Anything that wasn't four characters would get padded, and then I decided that was a lousy example, so I went down and put in the 20, and those asterisks padded up to 20. Okay. And it doesn't matter, as you can see, how many asterisks I tell it to pad. In this one, I said 2 asterisks. In this one, I said 1, and I got the same results. And then you can left trim. So I trimmed off some stuff with the left trim. And then you've got mid, so I can go into city, and that's where I definitely use substring, where I can go into city and go to the second character and take 3 characters. Okay? And again, I'm just used to using substring, so I would use substring there. And then I want to know the position of EE. Okay, so in string found EE, another way of doing that is position of EE, and another way of doing it down below is locate the EE. So they have overdone themselves in giving you ways that you can find something. And again, the one I always use is in string. I definitely forget the position and locator even there. In this one, if for some bizarre reason I want to do it, I can repeat state 5 times. So I'm not real sure I can come up with any idea of why I'd want to do that, but I can. And for some reason, if I want to replace something with something else, I replace lowercase e's with uppercase e's, and it went through all of the cities and made that change. So that all of the double E's that were lowercase got changed into double E's that were uppercase. And these are just some of the functions. If you want to know the functions, you can go to MySQL and look up the functions. MySQL has a website. You can go in and look up the functions. But if you find yourself wanting to do something fairly complicated, like replacing characters in the middle of a field, then I'd go and try looking up functions. And I can reverse. Okay? So again, I'm hard pressed to come up with why I'd want to do that. But if you want to reverse, you can do that. I can go in and take the rightmost two characters. I think I did that up above. I can use substring and go into city in three. And like the substring I put up here, substring has, and substring, either way, however you spell it, has three things. So it is the field, the start, and the end. How many characters you want to go, which is basically how many. And if you leave this off, it goes to the end. So if you only put two characters in there, it will go to the end. Okay? So if I want to just see two the characters, so this is, I want to start with city. I want to go to city. I want to start with character three, and I want to go to the end. I want to take all the characters, so I don't have to put in another number. And a lot of people, when they're doing the flip name, forget about that, that you can do different things with this. And that if you want to just go to the end, you just only use the first two fields. You don't use the last field. Okay. And either of these can be a formula. So frequently, either of these can be a formula. Like in string. Or a formula function, whatever you want to call it. It can be either. So I can use an inner string there to come up with what the start point is. So I can say in there, I want to start with the first E. So I'm going to do substring, and then I'm going to go field, and then the start point is going to be an inner string that finds the first E. Okay, or something like that. And then I can put in the end. And that's useful information for when you want to flip the name. So substring can have two fields, and again, it can be SUV, STR. It can have two fields, which means go to the end, or it can have three fields in the substring, which means this is how many characters I want to take. Okay? And that doesn't necessarily go to the end, it just takes four characters. Okay? So the first one goes to the end, the next one just takes four characters. And I don't think there's any that just have four, they have five. Okay? So all these functions are available to make your life easier. If you don't have these kinds of things and you want to get into the middle of a field and find something, then you have to write a lot more code. And when I started programming, they didn't have these. And so we had to write a lot of code that would take the place of substring. Now they have substring, so it just makes it so much easier to go in and extract or to create. Lots of times codes for merchandise and inventory merchandise are done by extracting a little bit from here and a little bit from there and a little bit from there and putting them all together to make the code for the item. Okay, so it might have the department, it might have the something else, the size, the model, what company you get it from. There might all be all these codes that get extracted and put into Okay, making a code. So those are some functions that you can use. Okay. Now the next thing I want to look at is subqueries. So we're going to go down to subqueries. These are fairly complicated, and I may get you to try one on a homework assignment, but I'm not going to spend a lot of, have you spend a lot of energy, because I'm not sure how often we really need to know these for what we're going to be doing. If you're really going to claim you know SQL, then you've got to know them, okay? But we're only spending 2 or 3 weeks on SQL. In the 150 class, we spend half the semester on SQL and then move on to PL/SQL. So we cover it in a lot more detail in the Oracle class. So, what I've got now is a subquery. So if you look at how this is set up, it says select asterisks from donation, where the drive number is in. And then in parentheses, it puts another select statement. So how this works is that it does the inner select, which is called the subquery. It does the subquery first. So it goes in there and says, okay, I'm going to select drive number from drive, where drive name equals animal home. Okay? So this is what's drive. This is the file called drive. So it's going to go in and say, I'm going to select the drive number from the drive table. There's the drive table. Where drive name equals animal home. So it finds animal home, and animal home has a drive number of 200. Okay, so it found animal home, and so the drive number is 200. So that now reads as select asterisks from donation where drive number is in 200. Okay, because the inner select returns a 200. And so since it returned 200, I'm now saying find everything on the donation table where the drive number is 200. The in allows me to have a group. So if my inner query had returned multiple things, the in allows me to have a group. So the in allows more than one return. It allows a return of multiple things. If I had written equal there, then it would only allow a return of one. So in this case, it would have been fine to say where drive number is equal to, but if I expect that I might get more than one, then I have to use in. Okay? So in allows the return of multiple things from the subquery, I guess I should write. So we return 200. Then I'm saying select asterisks from donation where drive number is 200. And if you look down here at donation, there are two records that have a drive number of 200, and those are the two that got returned. Okay, so I've shown you the tables, and then I'm showing you up at the top what gets returned. And what gets returned are the records where the drive number is 200. Yes, no, maybe? Questions? Okay. Now, notice that this one used two tables. So it used, in this case, two different tables. Okay? You can use the same. And down in the next exercise, I'm saying the same table. so you can use the same table also, or you can use different tables. Now, this is an alternative. If you remember last Thursday, we looked at multiple tables and setting up where I could get stuff from multiple tables by using the from and putting both tables in there and then saying a where and telling it what was going to be a link. Okay? So I could do multiple tables. This is a nice way of getting information from one table and then using it with information from another table without having to link the tables, because it's doing them separately. It's going to the drive table and selecting the drive number, getting the answer to that, and then doing another select, which is select asterisk from donation, using that answer. And so it's a lot, I think it can be a lot easier than sometimes setting it up with multiple tables. It's just very straightforward. Do this query, tell me what you got back, and then use it in the outer query. So the inner one can be called a subquery, it can be called the inner query, whatever, and the outer one is the outer query or the main query. Okay. So if I was going to do this, I would have to have said on the other one, the selects, again, using two tables and everything. But this just is a far easier way of expressing it. Questions? Okay, so I've got now down here, and this is just Peter up above. I said select ID number, name, year, goal, contact from donor, where the year goal, the one thing that's in donor, and it helps to show it so that I can see it, where year goal is greater than, select year goal from donor where name is like ash. Okay, so this percent sign there says that I don't care what's in the name, I just want the last three characters to be ash. Okay, and there is a person named Susan Ash on this. I'm showing the results here, so you're not actually seeing that. But if you go down a little further, there's my list of data, and you can see that there is a Susan Ash. Okay, so there, Susan Ash does exist in my data. Okay, and I should have printed it out, but I didn't. So now I'm going back, and notice that Susan Ash has got a year goal of 50. Okay, so Susan Ash has a year goal of 50. So looking at the data, Susan Ash has a year goal of 50, and that's looking at the data, I can find that. So now I'm saying, select year goal from donor where name is like ash. So that is returning 50. So that inner select went into the table, found the name Susan Ash, and returned a 50. Okay. Now this one is using a greater than. So it is looking for one thing to be returned. And I returned the 50. So then it goes and says, okay, now show me the ID, name, year, goal, contact from donor where year goal is greater than 50. And you can see here that we only have things that are greater than 50.
Okay, so the inner select got me back to 50.
The inner select got me back to 50. That's the inner select. And then when I said, okay, now show me the ID, name, year, goal, contact from Donna, where the year goal is greater than what was returned, which was 50, so it shows it greater than 50. Does that make sense? Whoops. Okay, so now I'm saying, I'm combining, I've got a group function down below. And the group function says, select the average year goal from Dona. So if I just run that alone, I find out that that's the average year goal. Okay, just so I know that. Obviously, I don't have to run it alone. So then I go back and say, okay, now select the name and the year goal from Dona, where the year goal is greater than or equal to the average. And so it first found the average, and then it said, okay, now I'm going to show you the records, okay, where the year goal is greater than or equal to 768 point whatever. And if you look down here, you can see that those are the only two that are greater than the 768. So that's why they show up. So if I want to find out people that gave more than the average, that's how I can do it. I can go find the average and say greater than. Now in all these things, if you look at them, there is probably a half dozen ways. And if you gave problems to a bunch of SQL people, they'd all come up with a different way of solving these problems. Some would use subqueries, some don't. I'm using subqueries for everything here because this is a handout about subqueries. Okay, so I'm not looking to see if there's another way of doing it. We're just looking at subqueries. Okay, I don't know if I took a picture. Okay, so this one is selecting multiple things. So I said, first of all, the inner select says select ID from donation where con amount is greater than 20. And those are the IDs that meet that criteria. Okay, so it's going into the table and finding the records that meet that criteria. So here I'm showing you the ID, the name, and the year goal from Dona. So I can now relate those two and pull out the ones that meet the criteria. So the inner query or the subquery says select ID number from donation where the con amount is greater than 20. Okay? And when it does that, it comes up with these IDs. Then I said, okay, now show me the name and the year goal from Dona, where the ID is in that group. So it's in the group that got returned. Okay? That got returned. So I am looking and saying in the Dona file and in the donation file. So I go to the donation file and I find all of the donations that gave more than 20. And these are the IDs of the donation. And notice one of them is a duplicate because 12121 apparently gave twice a donation greater than 20, twice. So then I've got those four numbers that came back from the inner select. So now I go to the donor table and I find those people. Okay? So I'm finding and showing the name and the year goal for the people that match. And this person is only showing once because it's the same. Okay? So I'm getting that Stephen Daniels, Jennifer Ames, and Susan Ash all gave a donation greater than. And I should have printed out the whole donation table. Did I do that up above? Yeah, there's the donation table. Okay. So greater than 20 meant that 111111 is greater than 20. 12121 was greater than 20. Well, not to revolve my lines. 23456 was not greater than 20. 33333 was not greater than 20. 12121 was greater, so that's why it showed up twice. And 23456 is also greater. So those are the numbers that I got, or if I look at the donation table, those are the numbers that I got. And so if I go back down here, those are the four numbers.
Okay, I extracted 11111, I subtracted 2 12121s, and I got that 23456. So that's the group that came back with the select ID number returned those four things. And then I say, show the name of your goal from donor where the ID is in that set.
And it showed them. Questions. Okay, this throws in a lot of what you knew. As I said, SQL claims there are only a few commands in SQL, and they're right.
But then they have all the clauses. So they have the group by clause, and they have the where clause, and they have the having clause, and they have the subquery clause. And so when you put all those in, you can end up getting something that's this long. So here I'm saying the inner select is easy. So the inner select goes out and says, select the average year goal from donor. So that's easy. Okay?
So that's returning the 768. And then I said, okay, now go in and select the state and the contact. And notice that I have a group by state and contact.
And I mentioned before that if you're going to name individual fields in the select and you're going to be doing grouping by, then you want to only name the fields that are your grouping by. You don't want to name individual fields that are not part of the group by.
Okay? So I said group by state, and then group by contact within state. So it is going to come up with that. And then I said, now that you've got the groups formed, I only want the groups that have a sum of year goal greater than the return from the subquery,
greater than the average, which was returned from the subquery. So the subquery returns 768. And I'm saying I only want records that are greater than 768. So there they are. There are the groups. If there was another group, it's not showing up because it wasn't part of the groups that were greater than 768.
Questions. And obviously this one is a especially good example of one that did not need to have a subquery.
Because I did it down here by just putting the number in, or I could have done it down here by putting in average year goal. And if I put average year goal in there, it would have worked fine. So I could have, in this case, just put in average year goal. So I do not need a submarine to do this. Okay, and this is just really the good example of where I didn't need a submarine.
But I can use a submarine. And as I said, it depends. People get into patents that they like. And if you put a bunch of developers in the room, you'd have very few duplicate solutions. You'd have a lot of variance. Every once in a while, I happen to marry a programmer. So every once in a while, I'll see something. I'll say, I'll try to write something. And I'll say, there's got to be a better way of doing this. I don't like what I'm coming up with. And so I'll give the problem to him and ask him. I said, do it, how would you do it? And he always does it differently, or almost always does it differently than I did it. And sometimes his is better, sometimes mine is better, in my opinion. But, he frequently comes up with a total different approach, because I don't tell him how I did it. I just said, how would you do this? And he comes up with a different approach. It's great to be married to a programmer when you need to debug. Because after I sigh often enough, he'll say, okay, what's the problem? And I get him to help me debug. Okay, this one has two subqueries. So, the first one is select date first from DOMA, where year goal is greater than 100. And the second one is select state from DOMA, where city equals Canton. So I've got two subqueries going on there. So this works by, it says, first it does the date first subquery. Then it does the state subquery, and it's got the answers to that. And then it says, okay, select all these things from DOMA, where date first is in that group that got selected. And in means it can be a group that got selected, not just one thing, but a group. And also, state is equal to, select the state from DOMA where city equals Canton. So that is only returning one thing. If I had Ohio in here, because there's a Canton, Ohio, then I shouldn't do it this way. I should use the where city is in, where city is in, rather, up here. Where city instead of equals, I should have said in. Okay? So if I had Ohio in there, then it would have returned maybe a Canton. And so I would have to have an in. I can only use the equal when I know there's only one thing. Well, my data is all from Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and I've decided I think I know there's no Canton, Rhode Island, so I'm safe, okay? But my point here was to make the point that if you're expecting multiple things back, okay, can be multiple. And this one is, can only be one. Okay, so this is that, this is this. And it can return multiple because I have the in, and the second one can only return one thing because I have the equal. So if I thought it could return multiple things, I should put an in there. Okay. And this one I did with an and. I can also do it with an or. So I can combine two things with an or. So I'm going to scroll down, and I think I have there, I have an or. Okay. So I can have an or, and this time I have ins on both of them because I was expecting that I could get multiples back. So now I'm saying
do the select contact from donor, we're stating from Rhode Island, that's going to get me multiples. Select contact from donor where EGFR is greater than 1,000, that's going to get me multiples. And now I'm saying show me everything where the contact is in that group or the contact is in that group. So where the contact is in the group from Rhode Island or where the contact is in the group where the year goal is greater than 1,000. Yes, no, maybe? As I said, we're not going to be doing a lot of these, but I would like you to understand them. Part of, you know, you should learn more of SQL. SQL right now is one of the, if you look at the lists of things that people want you to know, SQL is real high on that list. Okay, it's on a lot of demand to know SQL. And so as much as you can, this is a start, and you can dig in a lot deeper in SQL. And as I said, the Oracle class goes a lot deeper into it, too. So down at the bottom, this is the group where the state equals Rhode Island.
I keep going over to that scroll. And that's the group where the contact is greater than 1,000. And that, as it turned out, only brought back one thing.
But I didn't know that. And so I still wanted to use the in because there was the potential of it bringing back multiple things.
Okay. Now there's two other clauses that you can use. One is any and one is all.
So any means it's greater than any of them. Okay, and all means it's greater than all of them. So when I say greater than any, I mean I want it greater than any of the ones that got returned from here. I want it greater from any of them. Okay? And that got returned, so I want something that's greater than any of those. So if it's greater than 16, that's okay. It doesn't have to be greater than 133, because I said greater than any of them. So greater than 16.667 is fine.
Okay. Whereas with all, which is coming up next, all means it has to be greater than all of them.
So whatever got returned, it's got to be greater than all of the things that got returned. Okay, so it's got to be greater than all of them.
Whereas the other one said it had to be greater than any of them. Okay, so in the all, it has to be greater than 400. Because it has to be greater than all of them, 400 Thea, so it has to be greater than 400. Questions? So you can see that SQL select statements can grow and grow and grow when you start throwing in all of these clauses, and we've only looked at a portion of them.
It can be quite overwhelming. Now, SQL is very good for bringing back all the records that meet certain criteria, for doing queries, for meeting all the records that do certain criteria.
But there are times when you want to combine that with doing calculations, saying if it's this, do one thing, if it's something else, do another. That's not where SQL excels. So in the Oracle class, where we go through SQL in more detail, we've got a segment on PLSQL, which is the programming language using SQL. And that's a programming language where you can embed SQL inside the programming language and then also do regular programming where you say, if this is this, do this calculation, else if it's this, do this calculation. So you can kind of take the best from the programming world and the best from the SQL world and combine them and make really very effective programs. Okay. Questions? Okay. Then what I want to do for the next half hour is get you logged in. So, I want to look at First Connect Group. So if you haven't downloaded First Connect Group, please do. And that's under week 7. Okay, First Connect Group. And we're going to look at First Connect Group and finish looking at that today. And on Thursday, we'll look at Second Connect Group. So you want to download it and put it, unzip it, put the things back up on your end so that you have access to them. While we're doing this, just out of curiosity, have any of you actually got instructions about what you're supposed to do when advisement starts?
I got your quality every email, but that's it. It's my last semester, so no.
It doesn't matter. They usually still give you an advisor.
Oh, they still send it?
Yeah. Oh. No. Has anybody gotten what you're supposed to do about advisement?
Yeah, I've got an email I need to be the advisor.
Right.
You build in.
Okay, and what dates? It's all very loosey-goosey this semester. And I can't figure out, usually this starts this date, ends this date, but you can go beyond.
Yeah, it says registration starts from tomorrow.
From tomorrow?
From tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know how long, but it starts from tomorrow.
Now, in the past, the CIS faculty has asked them, we're only supposed to have 18 advisees, and we've asked them to give us more because we wanted to cover all the CIS students, because the curriculum gets kind of complicated and we've seen too many errors.
and so we've tried to do that. This year they decided we could only have 18 even if we requested more. Usually I get 100, and this year I got 18. So it's going to be But what I'm telling you is that if you want to see a CIS faculty person, you can still do it. Okay, and I would strongly suggest it. Next week, one of those days, either Tuesday or Thursday, and I've got to talk to the rest of the faculty, we're going to set up an open lab where several of the faculty will be there and can help you. But if you are in programming, web development, transfer to UMass Dartmouth, any of those kinds of things, you should probably talk to me. If you're in networking, you should probably talk to Janelle. If you're in computer science, Igor. If you're in, you know, a variety of things. But if you're in programming and web development, if you're in game, then Raymond. Or Lisa can probably help you with Raymond. So you should pick. And if you have questions or if you have any hesitation about, come and see one of us, because we actually know the curriculum much better. I feel for the advisors, because the advisors get people from all different programs. And how can you know the ins and outs of all the programs, you know? So I'm probably not supposed to be recording this conversation, but anyway, feel free to come and see us if you have any questions whatsoever. In fact, we would like it if you did that. Okay, so now back to this. I'm going to look at this thing that I called here Link Pass OK. The OK is my symbol to myself that I can show it to you. If it doesn't have an OK on it, then that means my password may be embedded in it, and so I can't show it to you. Okay, so that's what my OKs mean, is it's OK to show. So I'm going to look at this Link Pass PHP OK, the one that says OK. Okay? So this is a separate module that you're going to make, and it is going to be included inside the programs that you write. Okay, so this means that essentially this is saying we're going to be using data from a database and everything, and we don't want everybody getting in there. And so we put this in to connect to the local host and give us permissions. So what you do is you make one of these modules, and you can use the module over and over and over again because it's providing the basic information. So you say PHP, and then you say $link. Okay, that's the name that I gave it. And then you say MySQLi connect, and then you put localhost, and you put that word localhost. Okay, that's the localhost that you can use. Then you put in your username, your password, and they sent you the MySQL password when they sent you passwords. This one is the MySQL password. Okay, so you're putting in the MySQL password, and then you can optionally put in the name of the database that you're using. So you can optionally put that in, okay? You're only using two databases, so you can put it in there or we get to put it in another place, okay? And then you say, or die, and or die means you could not connect, MySQL error. And then just for proof to myself that I am connected, that this worked, I wrote down print, connected successfully. Okay? So if I didn't connect successfully, then it's going to have died, and it doesn't print that out. So that print, connected successfully, I wouldn't put that in necessarily in things that were in production. Although even then, it's kind of nice to know that today it connected. But that just tells me that it worked. So you need to make one of these that looks like this. Okay? And then I'm going to go over and look at connect one, HTML, okay. And if I look at that, okay, this is simply testing the connection. And what I do there is say link, and this one was called, if you look up here, link pass okay. I didn't link to link pass okay because link pass okay doesn't have my username and password in it. So I've got another copy that I'm not showing that has link pass, and that's got my username and password in it. And so I can link, okay? But link pass okay does not have a valid username and password, so it's not going to work, okay? So do both of those. Do a simple little program that does the link and do the module that provides the username and password. And then we're going to run the connect one. Actually typed it right. And so then when I get all done, I'm going to go and put in the address of this one, which is the connect one HTML okay, put in that address. And it puts out the word testing connection. Then I say include the link pass. So it includes that, and that means it does it, and it has the connect successfully inside it. So that's why I'm seeing connected successfully. Okay. So you want to do those three things. Write two of them and then run.
So what exactly are we supposed to change in the link pass okay?
Username and password.
Oh, we just write our actual username and password.
That's right. You're writing your actual username and password. And optional DB, you might as well put in one of your databases if you want, if you're using one of your databases.
And this is our Linux password, right?
It's the MySQL password, not the Linux one.
Oh.
They sent you, well, hopefully, a MySQL password.
Yeah, I have one.
So this is the MySQL password. And your username is universal. Thank you.
So it's your MySQL password that you want to use there.
And the address in the browser of the folders that I have it in, and obviously for you, it's cisweb.crystalcc.edu/your username with a tilde in front of it, slash whatever you used when you copied my stuff up to your website. You can just take out the comma and everything from there on to the parenthesis. Or you can just change it to one of your databases.
There we go.
Is that working now?
Yep.
Okay.
So optional database should either be your database or it should not be there. And it should be the one that you're in, okay?
Sweet, got it.
Pardon?
I just got it.
Okay, you got it. Okay, is yours coming up?
Is it yours?
Yeah. Alan, is yours? Yeah, you're getting the same error. Harry's, did you get rid of optional database? And no comma there. So you got rid of that. And that is your MySQL database?
This is MySQL. This is my username.
Yeah, username. Okay, you forgot. You left out the localhost. You need to keep localhost. Then you have your username. Then you have your MySQL database name. I mean, MySQL password. And then if you want to have the optional DB, you put in one of your databases. If you don't, then you're all set. Okay. So that did the link. And all it did was prove that the link was working. This one has no connection to the database for real. It's just proving that the link is working. Okay? So now the next one that we're going to look at is the two, connect two. And this is showing the link to the database, okay? So this has got an echo in the program that says link to database. So the connected successfully comes from the password file. This one comes from this file, okay? And I just said link and then select asterisk from item first. I'm sorry, I'll back up one. MySQLi select DB link, and if you use the optional DB, this should be the same as the optional DB. If not, you can use either one of your passwords. Okay, I mean either one of your databases. But if you put something in optional DB, then over here, this should be the same as your optional DB. Okay, inventory first should be the same as your optional DB. So I said, MySQLi, select DB, then I use the $link. Let me bring that back up. Okay, so then I've got the $link, which is what I have over here. Okay, so to connect, I need two things to connect to the database. I need the information from the $link, which allows me to connect to the database, and I need to know what database it is. It's not optional to be there. It's optional to have it in the password one, but it's not optional to have it here. Here you have to tell it. So then on the next line, I did a select, again using link, select asterisk from item first. So item first is a table on that database. So item first is the name of a table on the database. So at this point, okay, this is the database. This is a table on that database. So now I am doing the select. If the select wasn't successful, it died and put out invalid query. If it was successful, then it put out the message link to database. So you're looking for that message now, link to database. And you can use any data, any table that you set up on the database. Okay, as long as it's in the database that you specify. So you've got two databases, but you're only using one, then it's fine. So select asterisks from one of the tables you created, whatever table you created. Okay. Link is the same as that link. That data name, whatever I put there.
And I think I always use $ link. Okay, how many have got that far? Okay. At that point, the next thing to do is go to 4A, just 4A, 4A okay. Whoops, what did I do wrong? Connect. 4A, okay. Okay.
So now I've added one more line to it, which is, or a couple more lines. I said file, and I define row as a row of data. So while row equals MySQL fetch row and result. Okay. So I am saying while row equals MySQL fetch row result. And we'll see later how we can use result later. But for now, just put a name in there.
Use result. And then inside the while loop, I've got an echo statement that has a paragraph.
And then I said row 0, row 2, row 1. Row 0 is the first field. So this is the first field. This is the third field. And this is the second field. But it starts with zero. So I'm saying the dot means concatenate. So I'm saying put out the paragraph, concatenate it with what is in the first cell, concatenate it with the space, concatenate it with what's in the third cell, concatenate with the space, concatenate what's in the second cell, concatenate with the closed P. And so it ends up putting out three lines that have contained the data that's on my table. And this is on the table item first. And I've got three lines. So whatever you've got, just do the same thing I've done and you'll see the first three fields. Whatever table it is. If it's the donor table, you'll see donor ID, donor name, whatever. You'll see the first three fields or whatever you have. So at this point, you should be getting out data. And that's what we want, is some data showing.
And once you get some data showing, you are done. We're not going any further.
Okay. So do you have data showing? Yeah. Are you you're still struggling, or how are you doing?
Yes,
I haven't been. Pardon me?
Yes, I'm making it quiet.
Okay. So this is how we go in and retrieve data from a database inside PHP. Anybody having problems?
I can like remember the names of the name of databases, but I
okay. Sure load. Yeah, remembering the name of the table That's probably the trickiest part of this. The database is easy for you because you only have two of them. It's the table that's hard. Remember the name of the table.
Assignments, there seemed to be some confusion.
Okay, which one?
Between the two assignments where we make a memo and the one where we form a sentence.
Yeah, where's the form a sentence?
It's on the same week as the memo one, right above it.
I mean, I may be losing my mind.
Because there's two assignments under that week.
Okay, that wasn't make a sentence though, but maybe you did it. All right, so you were doing assignment one, which was take in three pieces of data and pass them, and okay, I see. So you passed them, and in passing them, made a sentence.
It was similar to your make a sentence.
Yeah, right. Sorry. But that's why I didn't understand. Most people gave me three text boxes. They put something in the three text boxes. They passed it over, and they showed the output from the three text boxes.
I ended up doing two different assignments here. Okay.
Well, there were two different assignments, but assignment one, most people just did three text boxes. I understand now. The make a sentence definitely can count as the assignment one.
Okay, yeah. Do you want me to just respond to that email saying this
saying we talked about it in class, and this is assignment 1 week, whatever. Most people did a very simplistic, typed in three text boxes, filled them in, and showed the three text boxes. So your version was far more than most, and therefore I did not recognize it.
Sorry.
That's quite all right, but it just took me by surprise.